All right. Let's stand together. We're going to read about four verses together, and they're all in the book of Proverbs. So let's turn to Proverbs, chapter number 11. We're getting an earlier start this evening, and I won't be long. But usually when, whenever a preacher always gets up, I'm not going to be long tonight. You know what that means? Take your shoes off, cowboy. It's going to be a while. Okay. But I don't typically lie. Okay. Occasionally, if it works for me. Just kidding. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 14. We're going to talk about a subject tonight, and it's not exhaustive, just some thoughts I want to give about it. When we are back in our Proverbs series, I do have it scheduled to talk about this subject again. I'm sure after we read a couple verses, you're gonna get what we're talking about. We will not be, we'll be out of our Proverbs series for the summer. Every summer we do different series in the church. We're starting a new series next Sunday morning on Is There Not a Cause? And we're going to look a little bit about some of the things we face in life. Sunday morning, we're going to be, Sunday night over the summer, we're going to be looking at marriage and the family. And as we get into it, we'll have a few split sessions with some of the teenagers and so forth. And on Thursday nights, we're going to look at what does it mean to be a disciple, okay? A lot of people want to call themselves followers of Christ and so forth, whatever, faith journey, whatever the newest politically correct Christian phrase is for being a Christian. But I like the Bible word disciple, okay? And what is a disciple? We're going to look at that throughout the summer. But tonight we're going to look at this. Proverbs 11:14 says this: where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now look over one more chapter, Proverbs 12 and verse number 15. Proverbs 12, verse 15. Okay, it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs chapter 15, probably just a page or two over. Proverbs 15 and verse number 22. Proverbs 15, 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. You don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure out what the key word is, okay? Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that there mayest be, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. And let's pray. Father, again, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be here. Bless your word tonight as we just look at some thoughts that can help us in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm pretty sure you figured out what the key word is. What's the key word that we used, or a form of the word? It's the word counsel. Counsel. We live, if you describe the times in which we live, and you tried to parallel them with a time in the Bible, I would parallel our times to the description of Israel during the time of the judges. In the judges, basically, there's two verses, and they're almost identical in Judges, which describe the whole book of Judges. We encourage people to read through their Bible every year, or maybe read through it a few times. And as you read through the Bible, there's some books that every book has its own little flavor or own little niche to it. And you read through Joshua and all of the victories, and then you get to Judges, and you're like, basically, you've seen a train derail. And it's like, man, it can be confusing. What is going on here? What is this all about? I mean, you get to some of those stories in the back, and the concubine, it's cutting her in pieces, and people, tribes getting killed, and guys getting wives by running out and finding the girls. It's confusing, okay? Help the kids out here when they go, that they, ushers, that they get back in. But here's how you would, if you would want to describe Judges, here's how it would be described. Judges 17:6. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They did right, but the right that they did was the right that they chose based on what they thought was right in their own eyes. Basically, Judges 21:24 is verbatim. Those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Proverbs mentions it too. Proverbs 21, verse 2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. We read the verse in Proverbs 12. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Why is our country in such a mess? Because we have moved away from absolute truth. We've moved away from there being an absolute moral compass somewhere. And by the way, we do have a moral compass. We do have a standard of right and wrong. It's called the Bible. And as we've gotten away from that, we have made right and wrong determined by whatever you think. You know, you want to get on all these talk shows with Oprah Winfrey or Dr. Phil, whoever these nutcases are nowadays, and how do you feel? Now, I want you to feel good. But when it comes to a matter of what's right and wrong, I don't care how you feel. And I don't care how I feel. Because how I feel sometimes is not what God would say. And how you feel sometimes is not what God would say. We need something more than our feelings. There has to be a moral anchor and a compass, and it's the Word of God. I'm getting a little bit off here, but the problem is we feel we have all the answers to all the questions, and we don't need any help. As someone has said, if you think you have the answers to all the questions, you don't even know all the questions. We don't have all the answers. We have a distrust now in our society for anything that would guide us or lead us down the right path or tell us what is right. You know, parental authority is questioned in our society regularly. Canada just passed some type of law where if parents try to talk their children and tell them transgenderism is wrong, the government will take the children away from their parents now. That's Canada. You say, well, that's Canada. It's not the United States. It's coming. It's coming. Parents have no right. By the way, let me say this. And I'm not trying to be unkind here, but if your children go to public school, the public schools feel the second you drop them off, you have no authority as to what they get. You have no, those are our children now. No, they're not. By the way, you drop your children off at our schools, they're not our children. They're your children. Now, we have rules they have to abide by, and let me say this, I have to say it every summer. If you go to our school, you better be abiding by those rules during the summer. This has nothing to do with the message, but I just thought I'll inject it here because I inject it every summer. If you think you go to our school and you're going to mess around all summer and come back, you have something waiting for you. That's not how we work. The school, the church, and the family are all supposed to be working together. And parents, we are here to help you with your children. We're not here to run your children, okay? But we're not going to go against the parents. You know, those are your children. We don't have a disrespect for parents. Fact of the matter is we respect the parents, and we want to build you up, and you can be the parents that raises the right kind of children. But that's not our society. There's a distrust towards leaders. Maybe part of that's earned, but the whole deal is any type of authority. Because we've just tried to set this out that do whatever you want, you are the determining factor of what is right and wrong. By the way, where did that come from? That came from Satan. Eve, eat the fruit. You will be the decision maker of your life, not God. You'll be the big kahuna. You'll be the one doing whatever you want to do. And that's just kind of, that's Satan's doctrine, and that's where our society is at today. We want to run our own life, and we don't want our desires, goals, or plans to be run or ruined by anybody. Now, that's how we get in trouble. Every decision we make has something or someone behind it. That's driving us in a certain direction, if you think about it. We have so many enemies. So many people today, their decisions are driven by the world. What do I mean by the world? I mean the world. I just mean the unsaved society in general, the principles of our society, which are ungodly. And what happens is they'll seep into our minds and in our life if we're not careful. You're daily bombarded. The fact of the matter is you can't even follow sports now without them trying to change your opinion about things in this world. It used to be about what team won, and if they didn't win, why didn't they win, and what can they do to win next time? Now it's about so-and-so standing up for some ridiculous agenda. And are the Golden State Warriors going to go to the White House? And what do they think about what's happening in California? Fact of the matter is, Steve Kerr should just shut up and coach basketball. Just because you coach a basketball team doesn't make you my political advisor. And just because you can dunk a basketball, using a skill, by the way, that wasn't even given to you by yourself, you got it from God, doesn't tell you how to live my life. But that's what's going on now. Thought I'd just get that out. That's the world. Be careful what you're watching. We watch these godly things and they're throwing their godly philosophy. Listen, there's a reason these movies, there's a reason Disney threw in that homosexual scene in their movie. It's not on accident. We need to be very careful, because what happens is if we're not careful, they're trying, it's like they're trying to plant these seeds in your mind. It's trying to just get these little thoughts there. And the more you hear that stuff, you come to church and you hear something from the Bible and you're like, that's weird. No, what you're watching on television, what you're listening to, that's weird. Now our society and our media doesn't just spit out false ideas. They berate anybody who doesn't believe like them. And they do. They look at you. Now it's not like, well, we just believe differently. Now it's like, you're weird. And I'm totally getting off, and I'm going to be late. And I promised I wouldn't be late, but we'll get over that. By the way, let me just say this. Let's not help those thoughts get in our mind. That's why Christian school is so important. Okay? Fact of the matter is, one of the most irritating things a church can do is start a Christian school. Now, we love the kids, by the way. We do. I like, you know, whenever we get to the end of the school year, because my office is right here in the middle of Hub Central, I'm glad the kids are gone. It's quiet. But give it about a month, and then I'm like, man, I kind of miss the sound of them banging on my door and banging on the wall. And you know, sometimes I have to walk out in the hall and say, hey, quit running. Try not to do that. I don't want them to like me. But you kind of miss it. But listen, we're not doing this because it's like we're making money. We're not making money. We do it because there's got to be a place children can come to school without hearing nonsense and be threatened with all the garbage that's going on. You know, what was the new, the schools just did something recently. Was it drag day? Drag day. I remember when drag used to mean races. How many of you remember Lions Drag Strip? Anybody remember that? It used to be right down the street here on Santa Fe. It was right here. Wardlow? Right past Santa Fe. Lions Drag Strip. Now it's drag. That's not what that is. It's somebody that's confused about what their gender is, which was really determined the day they were born. But we have the world fighting us. We have the flesh fighting us. It's bad enough you have all this stuff on the outside trying to change what you believe. Then you have the flesh on the inside trying to get you to do the things you know aren't right. It's like you're getting it from both sides. Fights us. Because we want to do what we want to do. We want to go where we want to do what we want, where we want to go. We just want what we want. And then we have the devil. The devil. That's the spiritual side of it. Satan, when we think of Satan worship, we think of sacrificing kitties and all that nonsense. That's not what that is. Satan worship is just basically you being your own God. And what do we mean by being your own God? We decide what's right and wrong in our life. Now, let's get to the message. Our verses in Proverbs had one thing in common, and that is counsel. Counsel. You know, if you've been in our church any number of years, I think you know how I feel about counsel. But I want to make it clear, I'm for counsel. And we'll give you different ways you get godly counsel in a minute. I have a trouble sometimes with counseling, okay? And I don't mind meeting with people and helping people, but I'm not going to tell you what house to buy and this, that, or the other. I think sometimes we get caught up in some of this stuff. I remember the college I went to, great college, but there was almost a thing there that your worth was almost determined by how many people you counseled a week. We had college teachers and others there that would say, you know, I counsel over 100 people a week. I don't know how you can do that, unless a lot of it's just like, you know, should I buy a car? Listen, you don't need to ask me if you should buy a car. If it's a Ford, the answer is no. If it's a Chevy and it's a great deal, the answer is yes. Okay? I always lose the Ford people on that one. But and I understand maybe sometimes you have a question, hey, what do you think about this because of my budget? I'm not getting against that. But I think a lot of times we get caught up in stuff, and the stuff we really ought to get help with, we don't. We don't. The Bible's talking about counsel. Although a lot of what people would call counsel sometimes is a waste of time, there is a basic for counsel. There is a basis for counsel that's needed. By the way, counsel's not unusual in life, is it not? Do you know, like, if you don't feel well and you go to a doctor, did you know that that's counsel? It's medical counsel on what you should do. Or maybe you go see a doctor that I went and saw a guy my wife told me about. About 7 years ago, I was having pains in my heart. I'm like, that, you know, now if you got a pain in your foot, big deal, right? But your heart, it's kind of like, that's big deal. And I went to the doctor, and I didn't really trust the doctor the first time I went there, and his EKG machine was broken. That didn't impress me. And then he said, there's nothing wrong. My doctor took me to someone that gives you herbs or whatever, that type of thing. And I went, saw him, and he said, I took my blood test to him, and he looked at my blood test. He goes, all right, I got this. He gave me, kid you not, I'm like, he gave me like 7 or 8 different herbs to take. He goes, now, looked at your blood, blah, 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 blah. He goes, take these. Within 2 days, you will not have any more pain. And I kid you not, I started taking those, and the pain went away within 2 days. Now, I'm not saying that, but again, I'm saying counsel, okay? We go to counsel. If you're buying a house, you're going to get a realtor. Make sure you get the right. But different things we do in life, we ask somebody that knows more about it than maybe we know. We go to a source to find out about what we don't know. That's really what counsel is. From a spiritual angle, counsel is finding out from outside right sources, principles and truths that apply to specific areas and specific situations in life. That's counsel. The Bible speaks of principles that help us in life as well as in the next. I like this verse in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. God's power, and he uses the power of his word to show us things that help us spiritually speaking and also practically speaking as we live our life on this earth. The Bible speaks about many, many things like that. Right counsel can help, bad counsel can get us in trouble. Let me give you a couple examples of that in the Bible. Numbers chapter 31, verse 16, it says, behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. You remember the whole story of the talking donkey. And Balaam went, and God would not allow him. Balak wanted Balaam to curse the people of God, and God wasn't going for that. And so after it was all said and done, Balaam told Balak what to do. He basically said, if you read through Scripture, the doctrine of Balaam, he basically said, listen, God's not going to curse those people. But if you get them to intermarry and disobey God, they'll bring God's curses upon themselves. That's what happened. And then we see the story, remember, of Rehoboam. What did Rehoboam do? Rehoboam took over after Solomon. Solomon, in the back end of his life, was not a good guy. And the people came and said, listen, just lighten up the load a little bit, we'll serve you. What did Rehoboam do? He talked to the older men who were wiser, and they said, you know, that's right. And then he talked to his buddies. And they told him, no, man, you let them know you're going to be harder. And he said, I'm going to be harder. And 10 of the tribe said, you can be harder. We're not going to have it. And they took off. Bad counsel. So let me answer two questions for you tonight. Because when we heed the right counsel and we stay away from the wrong counsel, we're blessed. Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth with the seat of the scornful. Tonight I want to answer two questions briefly and we'll be done. Where do we find counsel? You see, we daily face situations of life. Things come in our life where we have to have the right answers. We've got to make the right decisions. And I've said it at many times, where we are in life is basically a matter of the choices we have made in life. The choices we make in life determine our direction, determine our destination. And when we're making those wrong choices, we're going to end up in a wrong spot. But when we're making the right choices, we may have tough times in our life, but we're going to get to the spot that God wants us to get to. And that's on a daily basis in many, many areas. Where can we get right counsel from? Well, first and foremost, we get counsel from the Word of God. The Bible is the ultimate good counsel. Proverbs 8:14, counsel is mind and sound wisdom. I am understanding, I have strength. Psalm 73, verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. You know, the reason that most people need counsel in more areas than a lot of times they really need counsel, it's because they're not in the Bible. Last year's theme, what was it? The book. Exploring the book, yes. I said it, and a lot of people don't believe it, but it's true. If you would just get in your Bibles, 90% of the problems that we have in our life, if we were regularly in our Bible, learning it and seeking to do what it says, 90% of the problems in our life, not health, but you know what I'm talking about, would go away. Would go away. A lot of it's just ignorance of Scripture. And when we're ignorant of what God says, we'll do our own thing, or we'll do what society tells us, or we'll be pushed towards what the flesh is telling us, and what happens? We end up doing the wrong thing. But if we find Scripture not only helps us to be where we should be, it helps us to avoid where we shouldn't be. God's Word. Don't get me wrong. I don't want you to get it wrong where maybe you have a question or something, you don't want to come to me or talk to somebody else. I'm not saying that. But what happens so often, we just don't even understand the basics of what God says. But even if we do, I know there will be situations, and there's been situations in my life, I don't quite get it, and I just want to make sure somebody knows, and I'll ask them. But a lot of times we just think that we'll do what we feel is best. I had a lady many years ago. We were out in the back here after church. She was in my Sunday school class for a while. She comes up and she told me, she says, God, let me know what he wants me to do in my life. That always scares me when someone says that sometimes. She said, God wants me to divorce my husband because I've already found another guy. God told me this is the right thing to do. And I'm like, that wasn't God, okay? That was Satan. Why would you think that? Because you don't even know 2% of the Bible. I don't see anywhere in the Bible it says, if you find someone better, ditch what you have. I've looked. Not for me. Just kidding. Now, I'm not getting on people who have been divorced. Sometimes there's things outside of our scope. We can't, I'm not talking, but you know what I'm talking about. People always, God told me this. Okay, if someone tells you that, just say, what reference was that? What book of the Bible were you reading? Now, I get a little concerned when I hear these people having conversations with God. You know, I was just driving to work and God told me this and God told me that. You know what, just turn the radio on. Maybe God will tell you what the weather's going to be through the weather, man. I had a girl one time, she gave a testimony. We were somewhere else, and some gave this testimony how she was driving to work. And driving to work that morning, God just told her to quit her job. And she was a single young lady. And she's like, God, why do you want me to quit my job? I just want you to quit it. Quit it now. And she had this long conversation. And when I got up to work and I pulled into the driveway, God said, You don't need to quit your job. I just wanted to see if you were willing. Can I just tell you something? She didn't get enough sleep the night before. God doesn't do stuff like that. Now, sometimes God will give us promptings and we'll do something, and it's like, you know, maybe God might prompt you, hey, be blessing to that person. Help them with this. And you go to do it, and it's like, wow, I was praying for help. That's God's prompting. But don't, every little thought that comes in your mind isn't God, okay? Sometimes you're just having a bad week. God speaks to us through his book. And so we need to know it. Sometimes the voice inside you is not God's word. It's a cheeseburger or onions or something like that. It could be your irritation with your spouse. It's something different. So let's be right. Let's understand that. A lack of knowledge helps us to make bad decisions. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. By the way, if you have a lot lack, and if you read through that passage, he tells a little bit of what it's about. It's because they rejected God's knowledge. And because they were willingly ignorant of God's knowledge. And so if we don't know what God says, then we're in trouble. We find what we are to do from the Bible. And let me say this, none of us are excused. When I was in high school, I didn't like going to class. And I didn't go to class, to be real honest with you. Now, they understood if you didn't go to class, they didn't get their money from the state. So what they did, they gave certain of us who were special students, they gave us this two-period class called SUN, S-U-N. What did it stand for? I have no idea. But it counted for English, and it counted for social studies. You know what we did in SUN class? We had two teachers. The first one was Neil. We would walk into his class, and they had couches there and a rug. And you could sit on the couch. You could sit on the rug. We could bring donuts and coffee into class. He didn't care. Neil was cool. And Neil would just talk to us. And we got jealous because he'd get the girls over on the couch, and he'd get them talking about some subject. They'd start crying, and he'd be hugging them. I'm like, man, Neil's got the job. It was nonsense. We didn't learn anything. We used to do this thing called fantasy trip. And we would say, Neil, fantasy trip, fantasy trip. And we'd all start, fantasy trip, fantasy. Yeah, all right, let's do it. Bow your head. He goes, put your head on the desk, close your eyes. And he'd say, imagine that you're, and he'd walk you through this thing you're supposed to be imagining in your mind. Listen, we were all taking naps. Imagine you're in the clouds, man. He lost me after that subject. Next thing you know, I was snoring. But you know what they were doing? They were excusing us from our English class and our social study class, and we did nothing. One time in the English, well, the lady that was teaching, I don't even forget her name. We were jealous of Neil, but the lady, I forget her name. Hers was the English class. She would say, what do you want to do this semester for English? And we're like, film analysis. What did that mean? We just watch movies. Now, they were on those old lame projectors, you know, with the film, the metal gray. But they were excusing us from class, basically. And look, there's no excusing you from God's word. We're responsible for all of it. So we get counsel from God's word. I got to really hurry here. We get counsel from being with wise people. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Now on the flip side, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. For with wise people we'll gain wisdom. But he says we're not, he doesn't say if we're a companion of fools we'll become a fool. He basically says if you can companion a fool, you're going to be judged. Youch. But I like the flip side. You learn from wise people. You know, there's a whole church there's a church mentioned in one of the books of the Bible that basically is gotten on by Paul because they let the wrong people slip into church. That's the Galatian church. Chapter 3 and verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? What happened after Paul left, some false prophets moved into the church and they started teaching false doctrine and they got the people totally off a track. And Paul didn't say, what happened to you guys? He goes, who did it? Who did that? Who we hang around with is very important. Choose your friends carefully. By the way, if you work out in the world, and you have a job and there's some people there that don't love God, be a witness, be kind to them, try to encourage them, try to witness to them, but be careful about just hanging around with them. Because they're not going to, oh, Christians here, we got to behave ourselves. No, 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 no. It doesn't work that way. We had guys where I worked. I remember I started a new job at Ingram Paper. My first day, I told people I was a Christian. I just thought that's what you do, right? And a guy came up to me, and I had met a couple of the guys. And the guy goes, hey, Steve, I want you to, he worked on the other shift, but they would come in early and help us at the end. He goes, hey, Steve, I want you to meet so-and-so. And he told this guy, he goes, hey, so-and-so, Steve's a Christian. You're a Christian too, right? And the guy goes, sure I am. And then he started cussing at me, you blankety-blank Christian. I'm like, well, I'm glad to be here too. He wasn't a Christian at all. I just, listen, by the way, I talked to the guy later, and I got to know him a little bit, fact of the matter is, I gave him a ride home for a while. He got caught driving in a certain situation when he should not have been driving and lost his license. On my way home for 3 months, I dropped him off. But I didn't hang with him. And he knew where I stood. In fact, had him come to our other church, we had a basketball league. I had a basketball league with just the guys from my work. We got our own team over at the old building on Anaheim. And he would come and play. But listen, I'm not going to, when they were in the break room sometimes, I didn't hang in the break room. I didn't want to hear their nonsense. I don't want to be a part of that. So be very careful who we're around. Be with someone that you want to be like. You find, if you're growing in your faith or you say, you know, that person, they seem to, I think they could, I want to be a little bit more around that person. That's why it's important we get the right kind of friends in the church. Where else do we get counsel? Listen to preaching. Well, that's why we need four to flourish. Listen, we don't need less time in the Word of God. We need more. We need more, okay? And what you read and what you hear and behind the pulpit and in your Sunday school class, it'll all start to mesh together as you're reading it and you're trying to learn. When I went to college, we would have a question and answer service before the main service. At 6 o'clock, they had question and answer, and it was a huge church, and Brother Hiles would come, and people would just ask questions, whatever questions they want. Now, you could ask sports questions even. And I didn't ask questions because I knew sometimes if you asked a dumb question, he'd let you know it. And there was times someone would, and I don't know how many times I heard this, someone would ask him a question, and he didn't say it to be mean. He'd go, you know, were you here 3 weeks ago on Sunday night when I preached this message? And often than not, they say, no, I didn't hear it. He goes, well, in that message, I talked about that. And he would explain what he talked about. That was his way of saying, in a nice way, hey, I talked about that in church and you weren't here. But he would reference how these people were asking questions of something he had taught on in the service, and they didn't listen. Okay, we had someone one time, and their mind wasn't there. It was the last question of the night, and they asked this question. And Brother House knew that they were a little bit slow. They said, how come the devil didn't drown in the flood? That's a good question. He said, that's a good question. Let me answer that for you. The reason the devil didn't drown in the flood is because he was a good swimmer. And then he walked away. Someone one time asked him, hey, he goes, what happened to all the bones with the flood? And he goes, I don't know. He goes, what kind of question is that? That's not going to change. And then someone else asked another question. He goes, that's a dumb, like that, what about the bones? What's that all about? So I learned, don't ask questions unless you had a good one. The point is, so often we have questions about something we could have heard about, we could have learned about earlier, but we didn't do it. You know, whenever we have premarital counseling, I talk to them for a few sessions, but I also give them, I'll give them a DVD with a lot of messages about marriage. Start listening to these from people we trust. Why? You want to start getting that filtering through your mind as you're getting into marriage. Listen to preaching. Florida Flourish is very important. I'm just being honest with you. Brother Rawl was right. That helped me a lot. Another way we get counsel is by seeking to learn God's truth on our own. Now, you just said we should listen to preaching and stuff, but you should learn on your own. If you're in your Bible, don't just read it sometimes. Read it, and if you don't understand something, try to get the meaning of it. And by the way, we miss a lot because we read fast sometimes. Or we're reading it, and there's so much, but sometimes a thought will jump out. Let's learn on our own. Listen, read, grow. You got to be proactive in learning. I like this verse in Proverbs. Through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. It takes desire. And when we take desire, we'll separate ourselves and do whatever we have to do to get what we need. Learn. Do you know you can learn any subject if you just put your mind to it and you study on it? Especially if this is, you know, technology, there's a lot of bad sides to technology. There's a lot of good side to it. A lot of stuff we can find out about, particularly when it comes to Christianity. And then, of course, the way we think of when we think of counsel, by talking with somebody, by talking to somebody. Over the years, I can think of many times there was a situation in life and I wasn't quite sure, and I would ask about it. Many years ago, early days of the church, of course, we were a missions church, and pastor was getting money based from like a missionary. That's how he supported himself the first few years of the church, probably the first four or five, because we were a missions church in every sense of the word. And so I helped in those early days, but I worked an outside job, and really, you know, you're kind of dialed in, you're kind of set in, and we kind of had an opportunity to do some work on our own and kind of quit my job and work on my own and give me more time to work at the church. And I knew that it was a good idea, and I knew that financially it was sound and it would work, but I still asked. I remember we asked Pastor and Mrs. Esposito and took them out to dinner, I think after a Sunday night, and I just laid it before Pastor, and I'm like, here's what I'm thinking of doing. I'd like to have more time for the church. Financially, this will work, blah, 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 blah. And I laid it on the line. What do you think? I wanted to know if there was something I was missing. I wanted to know if there was something that he thought was unsound for my family, okay? And over the years, there's things that come up in the church, whatever. I'll call, there's a couple pastors I trust, and I'll call and, hey, can I ask you about this and get your advice on it? What? We don't have all the answers sometimes, and it's okay to ask somebody else. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, let me go over this for a few minutes and we'll be done. Why do we need counsel? Why do we need counsel in the first place? Let me just give you a couple thoughts. It may be because we have a sincere desire to serve God, but we don't know what to do next. We just have no idea what to do next. Some of you are growing in your faith, and it's like, what is the next step? Now, we have our steps here, and they're pretty basic. But you might want to find someone wise. Maybe it's your Sunday school teacher or somebody else that can help you. And I've mentioned many times, and I won't belabor the point, how my pastor, when I was younger, I just went to talk to him, and I had no agenda. I just wanted to go to his office and talk to him. I thought that's what you do. And he asked me why I was in the office, and he realized after a few minutes I didn't have a reason. I'm like, you know, other people come in here. I've heard you give illustrations. People come to your office to talk to you. I've never done that. He said, you need to go to Bible college. And I'm like, whoa, what? You do understand I didn't finish high school. School wasn't my thing. But you know why he said that? He wasn't just trying to get people to Bible college. He saw me and he saw where I was in life and he knew that's what I needed. And looking back on it now, I see the wisdom of it. And I wasn't excited about it. I didn't want to go to school, especially like 2,000 miles away where there's winter. My first winter there, it was wind chill factor, 80 below zero. I'm like, I miss California, right? You know, you call home, it's like, yeah, it's 80 below zero. What's it there? Oh, it's you know, 65 degrees. I'm like, you know, I'm feeling lead. But you know what he knew? He knew where I was at in life, and he saw my desire, and he saw what I was doing, and he knew that was the step I needed to take. I'm just saying, sometimes we need someone to maybe give us a little, what can we do to take that next step? Another reason we need counsel, some of these are positive, some of these are a bit negative. Another reason we need counsel is because we don't listen to the preaching. We don't. We didn't hear things that were being taught in church because we're missing services. Someone said this, and it's true. You know, the service you miss is the one you need. Right? So often it's like, you know, we talked about that in church. Were you here? No. Yeah, you know, and by the way, used to be back in the day, it's like, well, here, buy the tape. You don't have to buy the tape. It's online. It's free. Okay? And listen, if you listen to it long enough, it'll put you to sleep. But we miss it by not being there. We don't listen to it. By the way, I listen. I mean, I regularly listen and read. I read a lot and learn that way, but I'll regularly listen to messages. If I'm going to teach on a certain subject and you're like, you just get up here, I'll listen to dozens of messages that have to do with that subject just to kind of fill my mind with it. I want to kind of get it. But another way is we do hear preaching, but we don't listen to what it's saying. And I'm not saying we're God or anything. You know what I'm saying? You hear a biblical principle and you choose not to hear it. You choose not to do it. And you're going to get yourself in some trouble. Not because you're not listening to preaching. Don't get me wrong. But if something's a principle of the Word of God, it's not an option. It's not like, you know, take it or leave it. No, God said it. You can't leave it. We don't have that option. And so we get ourselves in trouble, and now we need to go. You ever talk to someone and they quit listening to you? Look, if you're married, try this sometimes. Sometimes your spouse zones out, right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? And if you don't raise your hands, because you're lying, all right? Your spouse, they're listening, but they're not listening. My wife will do that sometimes. And I know, I call it, she's in Alma Land. Did I get in Steve Land the whole nine yards? I understand. And I'll talk to her, and I know she's got something else she's thinking about. And I'll say, oh, by the way, doctor said I'm pregnant, you know, something like that. And she's, oh, that's great. It's like, I don't think it's great. But we do that, don't we? Sometimes someone's talking to us, and we're like, uh-huh, and it's like, what did you say? I understand that we're human, but let's not do that with God. We hear what God, we'll read his word, and it's like, well, that was a good suggestion. Cracks me up sometimes, and please don't do this. So we'll talk about something in church, and someone will come up, and they're not doing something that maybe I preached on, and that's between you and God, by the way. I don't need to deal with you personally on it unless you have a question. And they'll come up, and almost in a roundabout way, they're going to tell me why they don't do that. I'm like, don't, you know, boy, that was good. But, you know, yeah, I know in my situation, don't just keep it to yourself. Don't tell me. I'm not going to be mean, but it's between you and God, right? But when God tells us something, I think we ought to just listen. Another reason we need counsel is because we're not spending time alone with God. It's amazing how God will put you in the right place sometimes. And if you're faithful to reading God's word, you'll say this. There's times that something's going on in your life and you'll read something and it's like, that's speaking to exactly to what I'm going through. How many know what I'm talking about? Many years ago, I told you, I went to Bible college because my pastor said, go. I didn't have a calling. And man, especially after I got there, I'm like, I didn't have a calling. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. People live in this kind of weather? What's wrong with them? And it was rough that first semester. And started having financial trouble. I mean, I'd only been serving God for one year in my Bible, serving God before I went to Bible college. So I'm new. And 6 months into my first year, I'm like, we're struggling financially, and I got this job, and we're driving into Chicago, and it was winter, and it was cold, and it was bad, and our car broke down, and we spent the rest of the night thumbing home in the freezing winter, called our boss, and he's threatening to fire us because we can't get to work. It wasn't good. And I got back to my dorm, and I'm like, you know what? I know Brother Black told me to come, but I've had enough. I'm just going to go home. Who cares? I don't need this irritation. I can love God in California, where even if you do hitchhike, it's not 20 below zero. You with me? Now, at that time, I would read a Proverbs every day. And I got back to the dorm about 3:30 in the morning, and I'm laying down. I couldn't sleep. I thought, I'm just going to read my proverb for the day. And I forget, I think I can tell you what day it is. I don't know what month. It was the proverb that said, if thou faintest in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And I think it's chapter 24 of Proverbs, right? I think it's somewhere. And I'm just reading it. I'm going to go to bed, and I'm already making plans to go home. I've had enough of this college stuff. By the way, I wasn't a student in the first place. I wasn't a student when I was in high school, and I definitely wasn't a student my first year of college. And I'm reading the Bible, and I'm like, I read that verse, and even though I was tired and I was irritated, I thought, let me read that one more time. If thou faintest, and I thought it through, if thou faintest, that means quit. In the day of adversity, when you're having troubles. So if you quit when you're having troubles, then it got me. Thy strength is small. You're a weakling. I read it again. I thought, wait a minute, what's that saying? So if I quit college now just because I had a bad time, even though I really didn't want to be here and I wasn't called to be here, I'm weak. And I thought, okay, God, I think you want me to stay. By the way, I'm grateful I did. Say, what'd you get out of college? A wife. That's a good thing right there. Training. And not quitting because I was having a tough time. but that was the scripture I needed that day. God does that sometimes. But if we're not spending time with him, what happens? Doesn't happen. Psalm 1:2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let me say this, and I'll go to the last one. No amount of counseling can overcome a lack of a relationship with God. It's just not going to happen. I have this trouble in my life, and I want you to open your desk and throw spoofle dust on me, and I'll be perfect. I ran out of spoofle dust. It doesn't work anyhow. If you want me to throw spoofle dust on you, then I'll open up my office drawer, and I'll hit you in the head with a Bible. Okay? I'm being facetious. Now, it doesn't mean if we're in the Bible, sometimes we don't need help. I understand that. But I'm saying, let's nail that down first. And maybe some of the stuff we need would go away. Next, you have a problem and you don't know what to do. And that's really the gist of why you should come in. Okay? By the way, not to complain. You know, I have this problem and I'm going to complain that I have the problem. No. Problems are a way of life, unfortunately. And so sometimes we just need to find out what God tells us to help us to get through the problem. Because problems aren't the problem. The problem is when we let the problems be the problem. I don't even know what I just said, but it sounded pretty good. The problem is when we stop fighting the problem, so we'll never get through it. You can go over it. You can get through it. Don't worry about that. Next, you want to change somebody else, but not yourself. Okay? You know, well, I have a problem with Tim, and I'm hoping Tim will change. I've talked to Cindy. Tim will never change. No. I understand sometimes there's relationship problems. There's things you work through. Got that. But whenever we have any type of problem in our life, the first step, I know that there's one person in this world you can guarantee that will change. Yourself. You can't guarantee somebody else will change. And so, work on yourself. Don't come in thinking that no matter what your problem is, it's a problem with life. It's a problem because I'm in this situation. It's a problem because this is going on. And if all these variables were in the right spot, I wouldn't be in this problem. Just face it head on and do what you can do to get through that problem. And then the last thing is this. You want a stamp of approval for your plans. Okay. I'm going to go, I want to do this thing, and I just want someone to say, good idea. By the way, that's fine if it is a good idea. But sometimes I have found people come in and they really don't want to ask about what they're doing. You know what I'm talking about. I've given this illustration over the years, but it's true. When we went to Florida, we left to go down there to start a church. Be honest with you, I didn't get counsel from anybody. Well, I take it back. I got counsel from one person, but they had a horse in the race, and so their counsel was a little bit biased. So we're leaving Indiana to move to Florida. We moved out of our apartment. We had everything loaded up in our truck. I mean, we rented a truck. Everything's in the truck. We're leaving the next day. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, literally, the last night we slept on carpet. Brother Johnny Esposito said, hey, Brother Black's all for this plan. That was our home pastor in California. So Robert, I thought, you know, I'm going to feel better about this if I talk to Brother Black and he says, good idea, do it. So I remember I was at a payphone. We didn't have a phone in our house. And I called Brother Black. Realized when I called Brother Black, I drove to the payphone in the rental van. You with me? Everything's loaded and packed. I'm out of my apartment. And I told Brother Black what I was doing. Laid it all out for him. Told him why it was the greatest thing ever. And Brother Black goes, okay, let me get this straight, Steve. Let me get the facts straight. He says, this, this, and this? I said, yes. He goes, this, this, and this? I said, yes. I'm like, he's getting it. He's getting it. He said, this, this, and this? I'm like, yeah. He goes, Steve. I go, yes, sir. He goes, bad move. I looked at the truck. I'm like, bad move or not? Okay. I'm like, excuse me, Brother Black. He goes, I think it's a bad move. And he told me why. I'm like, thank you. Thank you so much, Brother Black. I appreciate your time. Can I just tell you something? It's like someone that has a parachute on, and you're right here, and you got 1 foot out, and someone's got their hand on your back, and they're pushing you. Bad move, too late. And we went. We were in Florida for 1 year. That was the longest decade of my life. My wife will tell you, it was long. If I ever want time to slow down, I'm going back to Florida because it was long. It was long. Long. Very long. But I wanted a stamp of approval. Fact of the matter is, I should have never talked to Brother Black in the first place because I already talked to him after I already decided what I was doing. And I wasn't looking for him to say, have you thought about this? Have you thought? I just wanted him to say, go for it, cowboy. Let's make sure before we do whatever it is we're going to do, that we're not just trying to get someone's stamp of approval on what we're doing. What's the point? The point is, let's take the decisions that we make in life seriously. And let's make the decisions with the mind of God and not with any other type of influence. It's amazing how we make decisions so quickly. It could be because we're emotional. It could be because of this. I mean, we almost moved away the third year of the church. We had already decided we're out of here. We're moving out of state. I was sick of, we were living down here where there was gunfights. Came home from work and my kids are like, we saw dead people. And they did. 5 people were shot down the street. My kids were right next to it. And I'm coming home at 3 in the morning and guys out in the street trying to hit my car with a baseball bat. I should have just ran over them and said it was an accident. And I'm seeing all this stuff's going on, and I'm sick of it, to be honest. And I was working at a job where we were literally for 6 months working 15, 16 hours a day. It was bad. And I was discouraged, and I'm like, I'm done. I'm leaving. We made that decision. But what we did is, after talking to somebody, it's like, let's put it off for 6 months and really make sure this is what God wants. That's all. It was a good counsel. And 6 months down the line, we realized God started showing us that, hey, that was an emotional decision. But regardless, let's make sure that we take the decisions in life and we don't make them so flippantly. Let's pray.